This is Eats and Beats, the alfresco edition, so named by Arvita, which means what? Fresh?
Alfresco, fresh.
Carolyn Joy from Joy Wine and Spirits. This is our monthly wine and food pairing. Standing outside the KUVO parking lot with Howard Trepeda's brick oven, wood-fired pizza right here in the parking lot. Howard gave a particular item you really wanted to pair. We just had it.
I absolutely love the arugula and the prosciutto together. And I don't know what the origin of that pizza is, but I find it so fresh and it's great. It's good in the winter, but in the summer, it's like a whole meal in one.
Yes.
And I love it.
It's the season for arugula right now, so that's part of it. You know, we're ready to eat the fresh greens that are coming out locally. So the origin, it's in our backyard. And what comes to mind is what's locally grown, and that's what we use with Italian techniques.
One thing I always go back to with Italy is that it's not necessarily complicated cooking. It's just very good ingredients, and it's simply prepared and well-balanced. And everybody comes back from Italy saying, oh, I just love the food there. But when you look at the recipes, or not even the recipes, you just have to look at what they're putting on the plate. And I think you're doing a fine example of this delicious pizza, which is, I can't even speak right now. I'm stuffing my mouth.
Yeah, well, when it comes to the Italian peninsula there, there is the volcanic soil. There's the Mediterranean Sea. It's the wind coming off the sea. It's the soil content. Everything tastes a little sweeter in Italy over there. And then when you have the technique, they've been doing it for thousands of years and pairing the wine with the food, the local grape, the indigenous grape with the indigenous food that's growing. It's, to me, the Garden of Eden.
You brought up this idea of region, and often we can find a great food and wine pairing if you just pair it by region. And what you did is you stumped me, because your pizzas are kind of going, I believe, all over Italy.
Yes,
and it's a very diverse wine
region.
I mean, there are wines of all different types, still, sparkling, white, red, full-bodied, light-bodied. And so, you know, trying to pick something that would go with all of these was my challenge.
Well, that's the beauty of my restaurant, is that we use the local ingredients. We go from the north to the south. But that's how we learn. That's the beauty about living in Colorado and in America. We blend so many cultures together, and we come up with beautiful pairings.
What I brought was Scarpetta Timido, which is a little frizzante out of Italy, and a couple of things that I really like about it. One, it's a rosé. It's a dry rosé. It has a hint of fruit to it, so I think it goes really well with like your spicy, your sausage, the pepperoni, even the arugula. It also has a brightness that will cut through a lot of the cheeses that you have. And then the saltiness of the anchovy and the caper, I think, is balanced by the fruit that you get with it. Plus, we're eating and drinking on a warm day. And to me, you know, having, even though I was going to chill the red wine, having this chilled, sparkling, every sip that you take, it's cleansing your palate. So you can try all of the different pizzas that you have, and without having to change your wine.
Well, as I'm drinking this wine, I can't agree with her more on that, because every sip I take cleanses my palate. And when I see rosé, I think rosé all day.
This is very true. Another reason why you can drink more rosé than a lot of other wine is because generally it's a little lower in alcohol. So this is, and I harp on that a lot, but this is 12% alcohol, which really does make a difference, especially when we're talking about wines today produced at 14 or 15 or even higher percent than that. So especially in the summer when, you know, some of you may want to be knocking one down that's 15 or 16%, but it doesn't last long. So this is something that you can continue to drink. And again, just like the pizza, because these are not heavy pizzas. Now, this would still go with a heavier dish, but the ones that you prepared are very light. And I love that you're just kind of concocting. I'm thinking that you haven't planned everything here, that you're just kind of, whatever inspires you is what ends up on the plate.
He's standing here looking at the people, saying, oh, what do I want to put on this one? And I see that looks like an artichoke in the olives you brought.
Yeah, but that's a white pizza with an herbed ricotta with a little lemon, artichokes, and Kalamata olives. And we always love to brush the crust with extra virgin olive oil. And of course, a little mozzarella, too, on top of that.
So let's talk about that crust, because I think, crust is at least half of the pizza. And your crust is delicious. Something I've noticed sometimes with certain pizzas is that they can be kind of bland. And I think that, I don't know what your recipe is to make sure that you have it salted properly, but that seems to make a huge difference. And then you have this oven here that, and you mentioned that it's a special type of wood. And what type of flavors does that impart on the pizza?
Well, it is a white oak. It's oven kilned. This gentleman just started bringing it in. The name of his company is called Woodfellas, and his name's Chad. And Woodfellas, he came to me and said, there's no other wood like this. So it's been going over very well in Colorado, and all the wood fireplaces are picking up on it. So I'm using his wood. Our crust is double proofed, and that creates like a second fermentation of the dough, so that creates more of a flavor. And when a lot of people are making a lot of pizzas, they just do a single proof, and it doesn't give the flavor and the texture to the crust.
So are you saying then that that pizza, you let it rot, you knead it, and then you let it rise, and then you punch it down again and let it rise? Is that what you mean by double proof?
Yes. So I take it out, let it rise, and then break it down again, and then knead it into a bowl, and it rises again.
So when our listeners are out there trying to pair pizza, I think this is a classic example of when we can do the KISS method. So keeping it simple, smarty, instead of stupid, I guess. But you know what we want, a pizza can be a complicated dish in that you have a lot of different flavors, you have a lot of different textures, you know, and if you're at home making, having a pizza party, then you're going to have a lot of different types of pizza. So having a wine, you don't want a complicated wine, you don't want a full rich bodied wine, you want something simple, clean, it doesn't have to be expensive, and you don't want anything that overpowers your pizza. But you can get this beautiful marriage of food and wine and a crisp rosé. It doesn't have to be sparkling, but really, this is rosé season. And just a little plug, not only for rosé, but the store, is that we've got at least 60 rosés. I mean, we have a phenomenal selection that, you know, not all pizza is the same. Not all rosé is white Zinfandel. Not all Beaujolais is Beaujolais Nouveau. And our rosés are dry and have lots of character. So you can experiment all summer long. And, you know, and the pizza is great. It's not a heavy dish. It's a great summer fare.
Yes. I like the crust thin, so you can drink and eat just a little bit more than a deep dish.
Too much talk, not enough eat. So that's great. We're good, I think.
Yeah.
And we will point you to Trapitas in Niwot, your website.
Trapitas.com.
T-R-E-P-P-E-D-A-S.
Yes.
.com. See, joywineandspirits.com, Carolyn Joy. Another fine wine and food pairing. Again, the best job in the world, next to mine.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you.
That's great.
You.
That's it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Nicely done.
All right. 15 minutes.
Not bad. Now I can match the voice with the face, you know?
Something's stunning.
I know.